Not my fault. These days, it's common to blame everyone else for our conflicts, everyone except the sinner within. James tells Christians that conflicts come from inner desires at war with the purposes of God. There's no point in pointing the finger elsewhere. Our troubles begin within. Get used to it. Your life is a battleground, and Satan wants to win. From the Moody Church in Chicago, this is Running to Win with Dr. Erwin Lutzer, whose clear teaching helps us make it across the finish line. Our current series tells about seven secret snares that can trap the Christian. In his first message, Welcome to the War, Erwin Lutzer takes us to James chapter 4 and a summary of what that war is all about.
What I'd like to do now is to make two life-changing concluding observations of the text. The first is that, notice this, even though James acknowledges the desires that are within us, and there's no person alive who doesn't know what we're talking about, even though James acknowledges that, he is still holding us accountable for our actions. He's saying, you know, you have all of these quarrels, you have all of these desires that are at war with your members, and these desires are at war with you, and they're at war with God, James says. But he doesn't say, well, you know, after all, you have to follow your desire because it is all in your genes anyway, so just act it out. James doesn't go that route. You know that a couple of years ago, time goes so quickly, it might be years ago, Time magazine had a cover story on adultery. What it basically said was that the reason that men commit adultery is that it is because of their genetic makeup. It's these genes that are causing the problems. And as a result of that, what you have is men who are promiscuous because they are born to be promiscuous. That was the bottom line. There have been people who have been saying, well, you know, there's an adultery gene, and it gives you a disposition to adultery. There's an alcohol gene, because it runs in the family. And we know that it runs in the family. We'll discuss this when we talk about alcoholism. Identical twins can be adopted or in different families, and yet they have a propensity to alcohol, even if they are raised in families where there is no alcohol. So, you know, that's exactly what the scripture says, the sins of the father being visited upon the third and fourth generation. So there are those social consequences and connections. But what people want to do is they want to isolate that that alcohol gene so that they know why some people are alcoholics and others aren't. When I was in high school, we had a student who would steal. He would quote the verse of in Ephesians this way, let him who stole steal. Now, I think that that maybe went over some of your heads, but the rest of the verse says, let him that stole steal no more. That's actually the way it says it, but anyway. But he said, that's the way I'm born. He said, ever since I was young, I could not stop taking things that I saw. If he could have put it in contemporary language, he has a stealing gene. And then you have people who say, we're going to make sure that we uncover that homosexual gene. Because if we can uncover that gene, why then indeed homosexuality has to be accepted as normal. And on it goes. Listen to me carefully. James does not buy that. Find as many genes as you want. We are responsible for our desires and for our actions. Please keep that in mind. You know what the problem is? Some of us, maybe we don't have these sins that I've listed for you on this sheet of paper that we're going to be speaking about. But you know what our problem is? You know what my problem is? You know what the problem is with the pastoral staff over here? Yeah. We're all born with the sin gene. That's our problem. There's a sin gene that they still need to uncover. That's the seed of all of our difficulties. Of course, we may have dispositions because of genes, because of desires. James does not let us off the hook, and you cannot be let off the hook, and you cannot be helped as long as you blame it on your genes. Now, that's the first observation. Let's go to a second. James now says, look, I'm going to tell you what to do. By the way, when I preach this series of messages, and I do want you to pray for me a great deal, because obviously we're invading Satan's territory once we get into the things that are listed, but I want to preach very redemptively. You know, the easy thing is for a pastor to stand up and to just flail against some of these sins and rail against them and send everybody home feeling guilty. Either if you're involved in the problem or the sin, you go home feeling guilty. If you're not, you go home feeling very, very self-righteous. My dear friend, the only reason we tackle these subjects, the only one, is to make sure that there's a helping hand extended to the needy. Because we're all fallen creatures, as I mentioned. We've all got the sin gene. And so what we want to do is to be redemptive. And we as a staff have talked about that in future messages, how we can give people counsel and how we can show them the way. There was a young artist who painted a very, very dark picture, and it was just almost horrid in its, what shall we say, in the depth and the intensity of its darkness. And there was a man who was an artist who said, you know, never just paint a picture like that without painting a way leading out. It's got to be a way out of the darkness. And what we're interested in is to find that way. So James says, I've got something for you to do. You've got a problem with the quarrels and the desires that are driving you. And you swear them off and they're back the next day. Here are the words of God. Verse 7, submit yourself to God. Good place to start. You say, well, does that mean that my spouse is going to treat me much nicer now that I've submitted to God? Does that mean that that boss with whom I have to work and who is such an incredible irritation, who does everything that he or she can possibly do to make my life miserable, does that mean that on Monday morning, everything is going to be fine because at last that office is going to be turned around according to my liking so that they do it right? No. But let me tell you that when you submit to God, now listen, that submission is a very thorough submission. That is a submission that simply says, God, I'm here and whatever you ask me to do so that I will not be desire-driven, I'll do it. That's not a submission that comes easily. But James says, submit yourself to God. Resist the devil. That's number two. You say, well, what does he have to do with all these things? Oh, my friend, the sins that we're talking about, they are his playground. This is where he spends his time making havoc, doing whatever he can to get us down and to fall into a snare. And he has two lies that he loves to pass off onto people. Let me give them to you. The first lie is, number one, just do it once, and that's all. After you've done it once, he says, now that you've done it, you're defiled. You might just as well keep doing it, and you're hooked. Both are lies. Resist the devil. See, there are all kinds of people who are trying to resist the devil and they've not submitted to God and it's not working because the devil comes back. When Jesus even quoted verses of scripture at him, he memorized his own verses. I don't know whether or not he carries cards around with him or not, but he memorized his own verses and he gave Jesus a verse back in his face. The thing that works is, dearly beloved, submit yourself to God. Secondly, resist the devil, James says. And then he says, come near to God and he'll come near to you. And I say that to those of you who feel on the fringes. I say that to those of you who feel that you've tried it 1,000 times. I'm saying try it 1,001 times. I say it to those of you who may feel as if God is so angry with you. He's turned his back on you. He hasn't. Draw near to him and he will draw near to you. That's the promise that you can claim. Wash your hands, you sinners. Purify your hearts, you double-minded. Get clean as you confess your sins so that your conscience isn't constantly agitating you and telling you, well, you know, now that you've done it, you have to travel down the same path again. Humble yourself in the sight of the Lord. And by the way, it says, grieve and mourn for your sins. But verse 10, humble yourselves before the Lord and he'll lift you up. Well, why does he say that? Because, listen carefully, all sin begins with pride. Because all sin says, I know better than God as to what's going to give me pleasure. And we will never overcome the tremendous desires within, unless we go for pleasure, but they have to be God's pleasures that are on the right hand of God, that have no backwash of guilt. Learning to enjoy God so much that we do not want to grieve Him because of our sin. That's really what happens. James says, folks, number one, there's a war within. And we say, James, we agree. We've all been there, done that. Secondly, he's saying, you're at war with God. And if you continue to be a lover of the world, you actually become his enemy. And that frightens us. I, for one, do not want to be an enemy of God. I hope that you agree with that. Don't be an enemy of God. And then James is saying, look, there is a way out. Submit yourself to God. Resist the devil. Be cleansed. And humble yourself under his mighty hand. And sometimes that humility means that we go to other people for help and we disclose the secrets that we have so carefully crafted and covered, because it is in the process of disclosure that there is help and there is healing. Moody Church is a place where it's okay to have problems. If it wasn't, we'd have nobody here. It's okay to be needy. But we encourage you to come to God. There is that old story, that Indian legend that talks about the Indian who said, you know, I have two dogs within me. There's that ugly dog that's in the shadows, and then there's the dog that is in the light. And the old question is, which one controls you? And the Indian wisely answered, the one that I feed the most. Who are you feeding today? The desires which are going to drive you? Or are you feeding the desire for God? That's the question. James says you can change. You can be different. And Jesus said, if the Son therefore shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. This is Pastor Lutzer. When you think of young people today, one of their problems is they look at the world and think that they have been shortchanged. They think to themselves, here are all of these pleasures that I could enjoy if I were not a Christian. I believe that what we need to do is to help ourselves and our young people understand that when we really do spend time with God, there is pleasure in the process. And I would like to suggest that the pleasures at God's right hand outweigh the pleasures of the world. Now, it doesn't seem that way, does it? Because the world has so much sensation and it appeals to what we generally call that which is sensual. But my friend, today, we as Christians have to understand that when we really do pursue God, there is a sense of fulfillment, as I mentioned in the message, without the backwash of guilt. There is that sense of fulfillment that makes us realize that following God is always, always worthwhile.
Dr. Erwin Lutzer, concluding Welcome to the War, the first message in his series on seven secret snares. Tomorrow, the first snare, greed, the heart revealed. Running to Win comes to you from the Moody Church in Chicago. This series can be yours in Dr. Lutzer's book, Seven Snares of the Enemy. This book will be sent as our thank you when you give a gift of any amount to support Running to Win. Just call us at 1-800-215-5001. That's 1-800-215-5001. Online, go to offerrtw.com. That's offerrtw, all one word, .com. Or write to Running to Win at Box 11174, Chicago, Illinois, 60611. This is Dave McAllister. Join us tomorrow for our next Running to Win.